get started. I'm here with Dr. Jenny Alexander from the History of Art Department at the University of Warwick, and we're going to discuss her archaeological research in the West Midlands. Dr. Alexander, could you give us a general idea of your broad research interest?
My research really is twofold. I'm interested in medieval ecclesiastical buildings and also in the ways that buildings are constructed. And this is taking me into the early modern period as well. So I'm moving from looking at cathedrals through to looking at country houses built up in the reign of Elizabeth and King James up to about 1650.
Okay. So recently you've been doing some work on archaeological sites throughout the West Midlands. I was just wondering if you could give us an idea of some of the work that you've been doing at these sites recently.
One of these was at the Abbey site at Leicester, which is in the middle of a public park, and the local archaeological unit was called in because the walls that they've built to give an idea of the shape of the church needed consolidation, and so the archaeologists were monitoring the builders as they did the work. They realised that they'd got worked stone from the site, so they called me in to identify the stone, put a date on it, and comment on it. And as a result, we were able to say that they'd got considerable remains from the medieval cloister for the abbey, and that it had two distinctly different phases. So from these few fragments, we were able to discover quite a lot that hadn't been known about the appearance of this lost abbey.
And you also recently did some work for English Heritage at Apethorpe Hall. Would you be able to comment on that at all?
This comes out of my second strand. This is to do with working out how buildings are constructed. And years ago, when I was doing my doctoral research, I evolved a method for examining standing fabric as a way of working out in what order it was constructed. And so I was asked to do this at Apethorpe, and we had the building under scaffolding. It was perfect research conditions. And I spent some 6 months working with them, recording the stonework, the marks on the stonework, and from that was able to make a lot of comments about how the building was actually constructed.
You've been doing some work with the royal palaces intended for schools. Could you speak a bit about that?
Yeah, this is rather an interesting one. A little while ago, the university did a podcast based on my research, and this was picked up by the education officer at Historic Royal Palaces, who works at the Tower of London. And she realised that this had possible implications for the work she was doing, so she's been in touch with me, and we're putting together a project using the methods I use in my research in a slightly watered down, simplified way for school children. And we're working together on workshops for these students and preparation packs so that they can get involved with the physicality, the business of the actual walls and structure of the Tower of London. So adding a new dimension to the sort of material they already experience when they visit these sites.
And what is the age or the stage group that you're targeting?
I think it's key stage 3. It's 14-year-olds and above.
Okay.
And it was intended as well that we might develop it to the next stage as well for people in foundation year at Art College, which would be a really interesting group to work with, I think.
Okay, so given that you've been doing a lot of work outside of academia and with non-academic partners, would you be able to comment a bit more on who might benefit from the work that you've been doing in Leicester and at Apethorpe Hall, and also the ways in which they may have been involved in the research project, and also what benefits you see them gaining from that?
The most obvious beneficiary is the two groups I was working with, the Leicester Archaeological Unit, because they were able to get expertise immediately without having to train somebody up. For English Heritage, again, it was brought in expertise. So it enabled them to tap into existing research projects to benefit from my level of expertise in those areas. More broadly, in the case of Leicester, the whole Abbey project is one that's sort of been going on for years, trying to make the people of Leicester more aware of their earlier history, and Leicester Abbey was a major site. And this ties in with the presentation of it. So it was possible now to have displays in the museum which reflect the work we were doing. It also informs further development of the facilities in the park.
Mm-hmm.
It may be possible to incorporate some more material about the history of the Abbey for people to read about directly when they're on site, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Have they noticed a difference, perhaps, in the usage of the park now that the Abbey site has been developed?
That's hard to tell. Mm. The problem with working with outside bodies is that your project is complete and you move on. You never really know what happens next.
Okay.
I had a project some years ago working with students when I was at Nottingham where we prepared a research report. And ever since, people from the project have asked me, what happened next? And I have to say, I'm afraid I don't know. It's one of the slight frustrations of this way of working.
Fair enough. I guess one needs to find that information out from the external partner themselves. They must have statistics and records and
well, in
whatever
else. In the case of the Nottingham one, I have been contacted since. I mean, this was a few years ago, and the report we wrote has actually been circulated very widely, and I think after 5 years I'm still getting occasional requests for information from it.
Mm.
So that has a sort of fairly long tail on it.
Mm.
As I say, it's something that one unfortunately doesn't get to see the effects of very often.
Okay. Does the report exist in hard copy or is this electronic?
It's in both. In that case, that one was circulated to local libraries and any interested parties. I even ended up sending a copy to somebody who lived in the district who just happened to be interested.
Oh, that's great.
So it was possible to do that sort of thing. But yeah, hard copies and on electronic form as well.
Okay. I was just wondering, I mean, you've just touched on this in terms of how you've communicated your research with the local community. So you've done, or reports have been circulated. Is there any other way in which you or through the partner have made an effort to communicate your research?
Yeah, there have been local lectures and things of that sort. In other areas, one gets invited sometimes to appear on radio programmes.
Mm-hmm.
There's a case recently, the Radio 4 programme Making History heard about a local community project in Norfolk, and I got invited along to comment on the more academic aspect of it, and that was broadcast recently. Not my project at all, but I was brought in as an outside person to comment on a community project.
Okay. And has there been any, in either at Leicester or at Apethorpe, any kind of physical representations of, like, have you done any signage or any brochures or anything like that?
What the client was asking for each time was a report.
Okay.
And in the case of Leicester, I've done local lectures in Leicester about the project.
Mm.
In the case of Apethorpe, we had a spin-off where I was invited to give a lecture actually in Wales, which is quite a long way away from Apethorpe, but I think there was some connection there, and we've published in the academic press, and there is a monograph which will be coming out in the next couple of years to which my research has been added, which is intended for a more general circulation. It's been at that level.
Okay. So could you just talk about your experience in working with collaborative partners? I mean, you've mentioned that often. It seems they're, you know, it's what they want, or perhaps you don't get to see the end of the project. But could you maybe just discuss what your experiences have been like?
Yes, it's an interesting question because it's a different sort of research. You don't have the opportunity to design the project necessarily. You're invited in as a partner on it. You have to work to what they want. So whereas with your own research, you might be able to spend a certain amount of time reflecting on the direction it's going, on how you might want to develop it further. When you're working with a client, you deliver what they want. And this may not be the same sort of research as you would do for yourself.
Mm.
So you're a stakeholder in a project rather than it being your project. And you also have to work with very tight deadlines usually. Which, again, is something that perhaps one isn't quite so used to. The 5,000 words must be there by a certain day. There is no possibility of extension, usually.
Right. And so what types of outputs? You've mentioned reports, and there are also academic outputs that come from your work with that?
Oh, yes. I mean, I wouldn't be doing this if there wasn't. In the case of Apethorpe, I've published one paper with the person I was working with on the English Heritage team, and we have another one at least in the pipeline. And also, it's providing material for the book I'm writing on part of my research. Mm-hmm. So it's all being useful to me as well. Otherwise, it'd be very hard to justify doing it.
Okay. So in other ways, other than just the content, so being able to use your research for your monograph, are there other ways that working with an external partner do you think has been beneficial in terms of thinking about your research or the methodologies that you use? Or
there is an element of that, certainly, and being able to apply procedures that one has developed in other areas in a new sphere is always beneficial. Also, one makes a lot of contacts this way, and that can be beneficial both for research and also for teaching. I now have a very long list of people that I can call on when students ask me, is there somebody I could do some internship with or something like this? I can think, yes, I think there may be somebody. So it's making contacts outside, which is always good. That's not just, as I say, for research, but also feeding into the whole academic world.
That's great. Okay. And lastly, could you offer some advice to other academics who will be undertaking collaborative projects about anything you learned from your experiences, something that stands out?
I think really one has to consider very carefully how long these projects are going to actually take, whether one can fit it in the time, because as I say, the deadlines are very dead, and whether it's mutually beneficial. Often for industry, being able to buy into academic research is the win-win situation. For us, I think we have to make sure as academics that there is enough academic interest in the project, and also questions of publication can be sorted out early. It's less of a problem in my area where publishing is easy, but I could imagine there might be other areas where the client is very anxious to control what publication emerges in what form and when. And that might be a disincentive, which one would have to think about quite hard.
Okay.
But as I say, it's not something, fortunately, I've had to confront.